Today on the Music City Audible, where the Titans must show improvement in the joint practice and preseason game with the Chicago Bears. We're breaking it down on both sides of the ball. This is the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast presented by Prize Picks. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, the managing editor of TitanSize.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, we're going to break down where we want to see the Titans improve as they've shown improvement from preseason week one to preseason week two. Let's see that improvement continue into preseason week three and the joint practice with the Bears. Also, the Titans episode of Hard Knocks, I put in air quotes, with the Seattle Seahawks aired last night. I got a couple of thoughts on that we'll start with, and then we're diving into where the Titans have got to get better.
Yeah, huge joint practice against the Bears coming up on Thursday. One of the final opportunities to truly improve before preparation begins for week one and the New York Jets. So I think the Titans have to be practicing and playing. That's both for joint practice and the game, with a sense of urgency on both sides of the ball. It hasn't quite been good enough, and I think you want to, you know, build some momentum and show that you're getting better, you know, before you cut down to 53 and it's full steam ahead towards the regular season. But before we get into Thursday's, you know, necessary requirements, if you will, what did you enjoy about the Hard Knocks episode that featured the Titans and the Seahawks?
Yeah, I was hoping for a little bit more. I was pleasantly surprised that they, if you haven't watched it yet, this is a bit of a spoiler alert, but I'm not going to do too much spoiling because I do think everyone should watch it for the fun of watching it. I thought they were going to just do like a pretty basic version of the joint practice that showed the Seahawks good plays and eliminated anything that would have been like concerning for a Seahawks fan. They actually did a good job showing the full flow of the joint practice. So the Titans started off doing well, pushing the line of scrimmage. They showed the Titans making some good plays. They showed the Seahawks kind of regrouping at what they called halftime and being like, we gotta like, where's our energy? It was a very hot day, and Seattle's used to practicing in 70 degree weather. It's a little funny conversation shown between Sala and McDonald talking about the weather. So the Seahawks obviously not used to practicing in that kind of heat. Show them regroup at halftime. They come out. They show the pick six. They show the JSN 60-yard touchdown that I knew they were going to. I mentioned it in the Discord during the joint practice day that they were definitely going to show those plays and maybe those plays only. But they didn't show those plays only. The one thing I wish they had shown more of is what I know was happening on that field, which is the smack talk, the trash talk from Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward. I guess those guys probably weren't mic'd, because if they had been mic'd, we probably would have got some of it. But we had Jeffrey Simmons mic'd up. The Titans posted a Jeffrey Simmons joint practice mic'd up. They couldn't have called him and been like, hey, can we get that audio? Like, I wish they had shown a little bit more of that. We know Cam Ward loves to talk smack. We don't know that he was doing it specifically, but it would have been nice. They did show one play that was like meant to show the Seahawks like bouncing back from the rough first half of the joint practice, where they show like a defensive lineman sort of run through one of the Titans O-linemen's on a bull rush. And in the background of the shot, you can see Cam Ward throw the ball and then point forward. And it's like, they're showing this as a Seahawks highlight and Cam Ward's like, first down, baby. So that was kind of like tilted toward the Seahawks a little bit. But after the practice ended, they show the Seahawks players get together and say, man, that was a wake-up call for us. Like, we got to be better than that. It's like, Ernest Jones is talking with another defender. Sam Darnold's talking with John Schneider about like, man, that was a little bit tougher than we expected, which I was pleasantly surprised to see them show the Titans in sort of a good light there.
Yeah, it sounds like it was very entertaining. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but honestly, I'm going to watch it today because you did a great job hyping that up. And listen, we don't get a lot of opportunities to see the Titans featured in any capacity on a program like Hard Knocks. So I do encourage all Titans fans to go and check it out. Episode 3, right? I believe it is 3 or 4?
No, 4. 4 was last night.
Excuse me, episode 4 of Hard Knocks, Seattle Seahawks. Joint practice with the Chicago Bears. We're starting this block with the offense. The Bears are in Nashville. Some of the equipment has already arrived. I noticed on Twitter they'll be there Thursday for the practice. We're starting with Cam Ward, Carnell Tate, possibly, and the passing offense. What are you hoping to see from this session with the Bears?
Yeah, I think like where I want to see the most improvement right now is just continuing to get better when it comes to timing and details. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the social sphere. Kurt Warner released a 50-minute breakdown on Cam Ward's preseason. He basically went through every drop back of the preseason so far for Cam Ward. It's really insightful. Kurt Benkert also has a breakdown that he posted on Twitter where he's sort of taking the blame away from Cam Ward. Kurt Warner's breakdown is very hyper, I would say hypercritical of Cam Ward's play, which is a good thing. It's like push him to be the, play it at the high, play the position at the highest level. If Kurt was the Titans QB coach, that's what he'd be doing for Cam right now, is just continuing to push him. Even when a play worked, find out how it could have worked better, what you could have done better. And the number one thing that Kurt Warner harps on over and over again is Cam's footwork, the feet not being married with the trajectory of the pass. So can we see Cam continue to take strides in that element and just play a cleaner, you know, practice and whatever many snaps they get in the preseason game? I'm expecting it to be like probably another three drives, probably another 20-ish plays. They've played 41 plays, the starters so far. They've been saying they want to get him a game's worth of reps in the preseason. So if you add 20 more, you're at about a game's worth. So I expect it to be about the same. Can we see Cam continue to just like work on these fundamentals of getting his footwork, his feet pointed in the right direction, delivering accurate balls on time, playing in that timing of the offense, everybody playing on the same schedule, in rhythm, just continuing to harp on the details? That's going to be my theme of this episode.
Yeah, it's only slightly concerning to me, but I do want to point out that it's slightly concerning. It doesn't happen overnight, but we're essentially having the same conversation we would have had at the end of the year last year. Well, what's he got to work on in the offseason? Well, his footwork, he's got to marry his feet with his upper half. And we had these conversations, and I guess here we are at the very end of camp and week three of the preseason, and it's not quite where we want it to be, right? So it's the continuation of that process. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback coach, new points of emphasis, you would assume, right, as he continues acclimating and working with this new staff. But these have been the points sort of all offseason long, and we're not there yet, right? So, and it felt like the last practice that they had against one another, that the defense won that practice again. There wasn't a whole lot going on in the downfield passing game, not just for Cam Ward, but for any of the quarterbacks.
Are you talking about when? Tuesday's practice?
Correct, yes.
Tuesday's practice, we're not going to cover it very much because, like, honestly, at this point, who cares about practice anymore? Sorry.
And that's it, just doesn't the way it sound is. Like a lot of interesting stuff happened, right? Backup quarterback threw a pick, whatever, right? Like,
yeah, I think it was mostly a red zone / strike zone day, so there's not going to be downfield passing in that scenario. And again, like, we don't know if this was one of the practices where Brian Daboll said, hey, this is like our last training camp practice against your own team. Go try whatever you want to get the last stuff out of your system. Sure. Cam Ward ends up throwing two picks. Or if he said to him before practice, hey, let's treat this as a dress rehearsal, protect the ball, and Cam Ward goes and throws two picks. Like, without knowing the purpose, we can't really assess it, so we're going to just talk about what's to come versus what's happened. But yeah, I mean, the struggles did continue. That's the other thing I'd like to see Cam do better in this joint practice that he didn't do in the previous one, is protect the ball. This is the point in time where it's like, okay, more than anything else, even more important than generating explosive plays, this point, the first couple of weeks of the season, just protect the football. So I hope to see him have a clean practice on Thursday.
It's a stout Bears defense. So yeah, I'd like to see a good clean practice, like you said. Just build some momentum. I'll quickly mention Carnell Tate as well, because I don't think any of us on our bingo card had zero catches through two preseason games. Now, I wrote about this. There's been a litany of reasons, right? Like, it's like, okay, he dropped a pass near the sideline. Cam Ward has missed him once or twice with inaccuracy. There may have been a miscommunication on the one against Seattle that we initially chalked up as inaccurate, but it might have been a case where they weren't on the same page. So, variety of reasons why they haven't connected in the preseason. Brian Daboll had to answer a question about Carnell Tate going through a quiet stretch of camp when Daboll spoke at the podium the other day. Good group of DBs for the Bears. It would be fairly encouraging, you know, if Carnell Tate had a good practice and then can carry that over into the preseason finale. As you said, he probably gets 20 snaps in that game with the ones. I'll let you quickly respond, and then we'll hit our first break.
The one other thing I'd like to say that they need to improve on right now before we get to week one is execution in the downfield passing game, where they've not been great. They've been better in practice, and they were decent in the joint practice with the Seahawks, but that's still something where they're playing this take what the defense gives you game, which I'm a huge fan of. Take what the defense gives you, take the underneath stuff, make them come up and tackle, and maybe that opens up the downfield passing game because you have the defenders being more aggressive coming downhill. But they haven't connected on a downfield pass in the preseason yet, and you'd like to see them connect on one. So that's the other area that I'm looking for some improvement on, because as much as I'm harping on taking care of the ball, generating explosives is the other most important way to scoring points on offense in the NFL. So can they get the downfield passing game? As Cam Ward put it, just make the play. Make the play when it's there to be made. Stop letting the little tiny margins for error mess up the play, and then you don't have that chance anymore. So, Justin, we know the preseason is coming to a close this week. That means we're almost out of time to get some season-long NFL plays. And Prize Picks is the best place to run all your NFL action all season long. Again, I've got this play that I'm pretty excited to keep sharing with our audience, but I'm taking Shedeur Sanders to start more than 6.5 games. Since Watson was named the starter, there has been more and more chatter every day. I even saw some more stuff late last night about how people expect Shedeur to possibly start the Browns home opener in week 3. So I'm definitely taking more than 6.5 games started for him. And then Amon Ross St. Brown, can he score double-digit touchdowns for the fourth straight year? I think so. So I'm playing Amon Ross St. Brown more than 9.5 touchdown catches this season.
Those are two plays to project together. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Once again, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS, and you'll get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup.
Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. All right, we'll be right back on the other side of the break talking about where the defense needs to improve. Stay right there. You know that 6 p.m. moment where dinner's supposed to happen, but there's nothing in the fridge? That used to be every Tuesday of my life. But now, I keep the freezer stocked with Omaha steaks. Tender steaks, flavorful burgers, even seafood, chicken, sides, not just steak, all delivered right to my door. Arrives frozen and ready to go. Yes, frozen delivery can be that good with Omaha steaks, because it's steakhouse quality without steakhouse prices. I grilled the ribeye burgers last weekend. They were beefy, juicy, and actually these burgers tasted like a steak, because it is steak, ground from real cuts. If you've never tried Omaha Steaks, start with the Burger Perfection Flight. Comes with 20 premium steak burgers from 5 distinct cuts, including filet mignon, New York strip, ribeye, brisket, and sirloin. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you can get $35 off with promo code BEEF. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F, for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. It's football season, Justin, the best time of year to make sports bets as far as I'm concerned. And whether you've been betting your whole life or just trying to get into it this season, MyBookie is the best way to place your bets.
My favorite part about MyBookie, you don't need to be an expert. They have NFL lines every week, every game. Find your sweet spot, place your bets, and make betting fun again.
Yeah, Justin, and my favorite part about MyBookie, I can place my bets wherever I am, wherever I want to, before the game kicks off. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. MyBookie.com is available, and so I'll be playing there all season long.
And guess what? If you're new to MyBookie, the Music City Audible has you covered. The Bet Back bonus gives you protection on your first play. Sign up with our promo code MCA, opt into the Bet Back bonus, and take your first shot with a safety net.
Yeah, that's right, Justin. If your first wager loses, you get it right back. No questions asked. Make the most of football season. Make all the action as important as you possibly can. Get in now. Cash in on the season with MyBookie. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. But remember, Audible Army, always bet responsibly. Never gamble more than you can afford to lose. MyBookie!
And I think our guys understand that. You're going to see kind of a renewed focus on the details now. For example, like tackling. You know, some things I thought we tackled fairly well, but where there's some hidden yardage there, right? Like instead of being second eight, there was second and fourth. So all these leaky yardage things, those are more detailed things, fundamental things that we're really going to hone in on now. So really, you know, narrow our focus. Let's get all that, you know, the big picture thinking, they understand that part of it, narrowing in that. So there's stories like that that took place throughout the game.
Welcome back. Gus Bradley there speaking ahead of Tuesday's practice. And Justin, I think that's where I want to take this conversation as we talk about where the team needs to show improvement on the defensive side of the ball. Firstly, it's a great challenge. Another great challenge. Ben Johnson, one of, if not, you know, I wouldn't say he's the best play caller in the NFL yet, but you could have said that when he was operating the Lions offense, and I don't think you would have had a lot of pushback. Obviously, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay in the conversation as well. But one of the top offensive minds in this league for sure. It's a big challenge for the defense. And the area, number one, as Gus Bradley just said, that I want to see the most improvement in is attention to the details and really starting to understand where they need to be, when they need to be there, communicating better. I was thinking about this, Justin, the long touchdown they gave up, the Elijah Arroyo touchdown that they gave up in the preseason game last week. If either Kevin Winston or Alante Taylor simply makes a little communication before, like just call out to the other person, just communicate before the snap ball is snapped, you're not going to have a miscommunication or a confusion as the play's unfolding. So let's communicate better and really get on the details. And I think those two little things, you're going to see a huge improvement from the defense's ability to stop the opponent.
I'm not trying to simplify it, but like you said, a simple, he's yours or something like that would have probably...
I'm outside. I'm inside. You're outside. That's it.
Yeah, would have prevented that from happening. And you talk about the test going into this joint practice with the Bears. They gave up two explosive touchdowns in that Seahawks preseason game. The Titans did, obviously, the 36-yard touchdown pass to Elijah Arroyo, and then the 60-whatever touchdown run by Jacardia Wright. You're going up against a Bears offense who, like, Ben Johnson went viral, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago, for saying something funny, strange about explosives. Like, all he cares about is generating explosives on offense, scoring points. You got a quarterback on that side that you wouldn't mind if Cam Ward can follow that trajectory, right? Big sophomore season for number one overall pick Caleb Williams last year under Ben Johnson. Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, stock to the moon in fantasy football. Like, this is a big, big test for this Titans defense. If they have a single miscommunication at this joint practice with the Bears, it's going to result in an explosive touchdown for Chicago's offense. And we're going to hear about it on Twitter from the Titans beat and everyone else who's in attendance. Like, you've really got to be on your P's and Q's going up against this Bears offense. And to me, I wouldn't have it any other way. You know, I'm glad this joint practice is against a Ben Johnson-coached offense. Because guess what? Week one's coming quick, and it's going to punch you in the mouth if you're not ready for it. So no miscommunications. Hone in on the details. If you do that, you've got a chance to be competitive against this high-flying Bears offense. And guess what? If you achieve that, then you're going to feel pretty good and you're going to build some confidence and momentum heading into week one preparations.
Yeah, totally agree. Even in the last joint practice with Seattle, they obviously the defense stepped up and played probably their best practice of the entire training camp process so far. But even so, they gave up a 60-yard touchdown to JSN in that practice. And JSN's a great receiver. He's going to get his. But like, I prefer him to get his on 8-yard outs and 12-yard sticks and the little things where you can rally and tackle versus giving up the deep stuff. So let's get on the details there. And I really think it's that simple. And in run defense, like, I'd almost be more concerned about the fact that the Titans starters allowed a second team offense to get a perfectly blocked and executed 69-yard explosive run than I am about a miscommunication in the secondary, which is correctable in 2 seconds when you go back and watch the tape and say, we know what to do here next time, right? Yes. Okay. This isn't going to happen again. The other one is like, you got to get off blocks. You got to fill lanes. You got to replace the crack blocker if you're Alante Taylor.
right?
Like, take better angles. And really, like, I mean, I hate to keep blaming Cody Barton for stuff, but also, like, I think the touchdown run, you know, it's Alante Taylor's got to be better at getting to the spot he needs to get after the crack block and replacing that gap. But at the same time, Cody Barton is like sifting in slow motion in the mud through, I mean, multiple blockers, sure, but like once you get off the block of the climbing lineman, you got to know that there's another guy that's about to pop you and get dip your shoulder and get to the back. Anyway, let's be a little bit better when it comes to the details of executing the run defense as well, because the defensive line in this system is going to be getting upfield quickly, and that's going to sometimes allow them to run themselves out of a play, and it's on the backs and the safeties, the linebackers, I should say, and the safeties to come up and make those plays, because that's all on them. You wonder why Fred Warner was always like such a popular, obviously he's a great, great player, but it's also a scheme that sets up the linebackers to get those tackles in run defense versus the defensive linemen always being the ones to do it in a lot of other schemes. So I don't know. I just need to see, like, it's not that I don't think the talent is there. It's more about like really getting comfortable with the details of this system. And now you're in week 3 of preseason action. You've been doing training camp for what, 5 weeks now? Like, this is the time where it all needs to start to come together and make us just feel a little bit better heading into week 1.
I'm with you. And I've always been of the opinion that when you give up a 65, whatever it was, 69 yard touchdown run, that's typically not on one guy, right? Like, that's a collective problem. And if it's not all 11, then you bet your butt it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them, right? Because it's like, you got to get off blocks. You got to take better angles, better support at the second level, whatever it is. There are so many opportunities, in my opinion, to prevent a 65-yard touchdown run that it's not on one guy. It went wrong on multiple fronts. And you're right, it's almost more concerning than the miscommunication in the passing game to Elijah Arroyo, because you get in the film room, that's correctable. And there are things in the run game that are, you know, correctable as well, of course. And some of that did come down to a finer detail, if you will, with Taylor, you know, when Saleh had the breakdown on why that run happened from Taylor's perspective. But you got to get off blocks and make a play at some point, right? Like, that one, it's a combination of, like, you know, the details, but also you've just got to make the play. Whereas the miscommunication to Arroyo, to me, is simply a miscommunication. It wasn't a guy losing, getting beat out by a block, or just losing in the man coverage rep or whatever. That, to me, is more easily correctable than the touchdown run is. But again, back to the terms I used earlier, it's got to be a sense of urgency all the way around.
Yeah, so we will hopefully be live during the joint practice. We should reach out to somebody, Justin, find out what time this practice is supposed to start so that we know if we'll be live during it. But that's our plan right now. We're going to touch on a few other guys that we think we want to see more from, like the final roster battles that are taking place across the thing, because they got to cut this down to 53 players on Sunday. They don't have a lot of time. 5 p.m. Central kickoff on Saturday. It's the last game of the preseason. They're one of only 2 games on Saturday. Everybody else is playing Thursday or Friday. And the other Saturday game is at noon Central. They don't play till 5. So they're going to have to make most of these decisions before the game. It is unfair. It's like, they were the last game of week 2 preseason, which is probably why, to give them enough of a break between games. But now they're the last game of week 3 of preseason also.
Like, I don't know how this is going to go, but at least they're in Tennessee. Because I'm like, they're not going to cut anyone before the game, because they probably want a full 90 for the game. You're not cutting anyone after the game, because you're, you know, recovery and stuff. But then Sunday morning, it's like you're calling everyone into the facility and taking playbooks away and having those difficult conversations. Really quick turnaround for Mike Borgonzi and his staff, and a lot more challenging than I think the average person realizes.
Yeah, so we'll cover our final roster battles and other players to watch in joint practice right after our last break. Welcome back. All right, final thoughts ahead of the Bears-Titans joint practice. The number one thing is, like, can Fernando Carmona, I don't know that, I feel like it's a charade at this point to still call the right guard position like a roster battle.
It's over.
But at this point, like, can Fernando Carmona just solidify it? Ironclad grip fist on this final starting offensive line spot. I love how like we open training camp, like the center and right guard are open, and we haven't heard like two words about center being an actual battle. And then right guard is like the guy that we were not expecting to be in the competition is the one winning the job. But let's see him continue to play. Look, this Bears defensive, the Bears defense did an amazing job of forcing turnovers last year, but they're not like the most stout defensive line, certainly not from a pass rushing standpoint. They have a few guys that are obviously can give you problems, but it's not like facing the Seahawks defensive front. So can Fernando Carmona have like a great joint practice and go out and have a clean preseason game and give the Titans staff confidence to say with their chest, Carmona's our starter from day one as a fifth round rookie? Let's see if he can do that. I want to see it happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a big one. The Bears are talented, but not elite, I would say, across the interior. So some opportunity for him to have some good reps and feel good about what he's doing. There are a number of position battles that maybe are still being decided. Like, I think Chestnut definitely makes this team, but can Khalil Mallings even get back on the field to make a push here? Or I think my prediction is Khalil Mallings ends up on the PUP, if you will, the pup
or
list.
Short-term IR.
But is there anything left to decide there at running back? Wide receiver six, Bryce Oliver, Xavier Restrepo. Hank Beattie's been so much fun. What's going on at linebacker? There's a plethora of back-end linebackers competing there.
We got Litany and plethora in the same episode, Justin.
I had to do it. D-line stuff, corner, safety, Micah Robinson, Keydrain Callaghan, Eric Hallett, Jarek Reed, like just a number of guys competing for those final, what I would call like 45 to 53, you know, actual spots on the 53-man roster. Or is that, what, is that, are you doing some mental math? That is not going
to I was just
well.
Trying to figure out what you mean, like from spots 45 yes. through 53. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, of course. You. Yes, that's what I mean. And it ain't the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper, because those guys are for sure on the team. So, yeah, those back-end final battles, if they haven't already been decided, final opportunities now with joint practice and the third preseason game.
Robert Saleh said Monday that like this joint practice, because of the quick turnaround from game to cutdown day, that this joint practice is going to give them their final answers pretty much on most of these decisions. And I the other player I want to see continue to make strides, a guy who has made a ton of strides so far in camp, we talked about yesterday because Gus Bradley spoke about him, is rookie Anthony Hill Jr. Can Anthony Hill Jr. make a push to get some real playing time? Again, we read Mike Herndon's tweet the other day, but he said it perfectly. It's like, I would rather take the rookie mistakes that you know you're going to get with Anthony Hill Jr. than have Cody Barton be two steps late to everything. And maybe that's a bit of an oversimplification there, but that's what I want to see is not that they just give him the job because Cody Barton might be two steps late, but that he proves that he can be consistent, which we talked about yesterday, show that consistency, play in, play out. Maybe they give him some run with the ones against the Bears' first team offense and see how he performs in that situation. That's kind of that's what I would like to see from this Titans rookie. And then the other big rookie, the first round pick, Keldrick Falk. Robert Saleh said he's probably not going to play this week at all. He's not going to be back in practice this week with the shoulder stinger he suffered. He did call him day to day, so maybe there's a tiny chance, but he also said not expecting to have him this week. Kind of a bummer that Keldrick Falk's not going to get this final tune-up before week one.
Yeah, I agree. Like that's going to put him, he's going to miss two preseason games in a row. Don't be shocked if he plays 10 snaps in week one against the Jets, you know, or like something really, really low key, under 15 would be my official guess. But yeah, big note on Anthony Hill. He's been so good. What do we keep saying? What Gus Bradley said at the podium, like, it's just about earning that trust and the consistency from him. Great call out. I'd love to see him get some reps with the starters against the Bears. Does he make a mistake? You know, they can assess that stuff. Or does he show that he's ready for more than they think he is right now? He was obviously outstanding in that second preseason game against the Seahawks, having an interception. And I'm crediting him with half a sack, even though they didn't do so.
I rewatched the play. He's like the first one in the backfield
and makes contact.
Yes. How does he not get it? Like,
I can see why they didn't give it to him, because then it takes the second guy to like really bring him down. But then he kind of joins the second guy and they kind of do it together. So for me, it should have been credited as half a sack. I don't even know who the other guy was. I didn't notice the number. Yeah, I still haven't figured it out. And I think it's Music City Audible lore at this point. I never want to know who got the sack on that play.
It's Anthony Hill Jr. in our hearts who got that.
In our hearts. Can he continue making plays and taking strides? I think that's important for him. That first play of the preseason game, they had three linebackers on the field. I made a mental note to pay attention to that. Like, they were in base defense, and it was Cody Barton, Cedric Gray, and James Williams. So does Anthony Hill get himself into that mix? Yeah, it's something that we'll be monitoring this weekend.
It is nice to know he was playing Mike. So if you can take some of that responsibility of communication off his plate, put him at the Barton position with Cedric Gray playing the mic, then maybe that makes him play a little bit, allows him to play a little bit faster and not, you know, and be more consistent. But we'll see what happens. We'll hopefully be live during the practice and be recapping it play by play, just like we did last week. That's our goal. Justin, before we say goodbye to the audience, we should tell them about, I don't know if you guys have heard, we have an MCA community that is flourishing. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having in this Discord right now, Justin. The MCA community Discord, restricted to MCA premium YouTube members. All you got to do is head to our YouTube channel, Music City Audible Podcast, or youtube.com/@Music City Audible Podcast/join, or check the link in the podcast and video description right now. Click on that. Join up. $5.99 a month gets you access to the Discord server, where we have a community of over 80 people now in there. And I gotta say, like, the amount of level-headed reactions, the amount of pushback to hot takes, and the toxicity of other forums to discuss Titans football, it is one of the most refreshing things. I'm so glad that we made this decision. I'm so proud of the community that we've built in under a week now. We've got this thing is like popping off every single day. It's constant Titans talk with people who are like-minded, people who are not about overreacting, giving their hot takes and being toxic, about people who just want to have fun talking about their favorite team, keep a little bit of hope alive, but also be realistic about where the team is still lacking. I've really, really enjoyed the Discord we've built so far, and I want to get as many like-minded, level-headed people in there with us. If you're not one of those people, don't join.
Look, realistically speaking, you and I could not have hoped or wished for a better start to this Discord community. It's been active. We're getting new members every day. I'm always honest to a fault on here. I joked with Graver off air before we launched it, like, what if we have 15 people? Like, what if this is just a total flop? The fact that we're already over 80 in under a week tells me that it's been a huge success and it's moving in the right direction. So make sure you join the premium Discord today. Graver gave you all the instructions. And remember, members will also have exclusive access to in-season live streams on Friday. Once regular season football starts, the Friday live stream will be shifting to a premium member experience only. So you don't just get the Discord, you'll be getting that bonus show from Graver and I every single week during the Titans regular season. So don't miss out. Join the community. We're having a blast. The game day thread on Saturday is going to be incredible. So it was awesome last week. It's going to be awesome this week. So I think that's a perk. Join before Saturday's preseason finale, where we will have a popping game day discussion, live analysis with Graver and I participating. The last thing I'll say about... Go ahead, yeah.
Well, just really quick to remind everyone, while you mentioned the Friday live streams going to a premium access only, they're also moving to Sunday. So our non-paying members will still get 5 shows from us every single week. We're not taking a show away from you for not signing up, but we are adding an extra show if you do sign up. So I think that's the draw, in my opinion.
Exactly. Last note about this joint practice. Great measuring stick for the Titans. I wanted to end with this against a franchise that they should be hoping to emulate. Right. A Bears team that had were down on their luck in 2024, had a rookie number one overall quarterback sort of struggle, a bad head coach, and totally changed their fortunes by hiring a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator, obviously, and saw that growth that they wanted to see from their sophomore number one overall pick. Exactly what the Titans want to do this year under Cam Ward and Robert Saleh. And I'll throw Brian Daboll in there because he's so important to this, the direction of where this is headed as well. Great measuring stick against that team. See where you're at and hope you can somewhat emulate their success and the path that they took forward to end a run of just embarrassment for the Bears for a number of years. There is light at the end of the tunnel if you make good decisions, and we believe the Titans have made good decisions. Now they've got to go out there and prove it. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Music City Audible podcast. We'll hopefully be live tomorrow during joint practice with the Chicago Bears. Until then, y'all stay safe out there, join the Discord, and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.